I used to smoke Pall Malls. When they was cheap enough, I could get them at the dollar store. The Asian gentleman used to sell them in cartons for 50 cents a pop. But that was because they were sitting there on clearance for 10 fucking years.
Now, at long last, is everybody ready? I know it's
I'm
the suspense is killing everybody. All
I'm
right.
prepared.
The
I'm
winner ready. Of two Epic Film Guys pint glasses. Epic Film Guys. God fucking damn it. We are going to be giving away a ton of Epic Film Guys pint glasses. Epic Film Guys. I did it again.
I thought you just said pliant. I thought you just said Epic Pliant glasses.
God damn it. And it's one of those productions. I mean, essentially, it's just... lost it. I totally fucking lost it. I totally fucking did.
They're drinking Drano.
You're supposed to have an efficient police department, and yet you can't catch a third-rate hoodlum who masquerades as a monkey.
Game over, man. Game over.
No. Go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
Am I the only one around here gives a shit about the rules?
Ladies and gentlemen,
your complete attention. If you please.
Welcome to the Epic Film Guys podcast. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 97 of the Epic Film Guys podcast for Thursday, May the 11th, 2017. My name is Epic Film Guy Nick.
And my name is Justin, and I'm also on this show that is titled the Epic Film Guys podcast.
Ooh, baby. The Epic Film Guys are now a proud member of the Movie Pod Squad Network. Go check that out at moviepodsquad.com. A lot of shows that you've already heard on our show as guest hosts or whatever have banded together to make ourselves more powerful. We're joining together into our ultimate form, I guess. Shampoo
like Voltron,
brings drunkenness
maybe,
to it. Yeah, sort of like Voltron. Oh my god, we've got so much fun stuff to get packed into this episode tonight. We've got epic previews, three huge trailers to talk about, and of course we've got our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 review, among all sorts of other fun stuff. We've got a lot of people here in the live stream ready to play and listen along and have a great time. Justin, how the hell are you this evening?
Well, I'm fantastic, actually. And speaking of that Movie Pod Squad, over the weekend, I had the ability and luxury of sitting down with that drunk asshole Shampoo. Nothing against you. You're a great guy. But you were drunk as shit, man. You were drunk as hell. And his co-host, as well as I like to call him, you guys kind of give him shit for it, but I just called him Shock Top. He probably hates that I called him that throughout that.
Good old Shock Top
Winters.
Justin
Winters. So I Married a Movie Geek. I was on that show for an 80s horror movie draft. I had a ball with those guys. I think I was on like till 3 in the morning. It was a fantastic time. I can't wait for that episode to come out. We all had some great fun choosing some awesome horror films. It's a great time. So make sure you guys are on the lookout for that once that episode hits.
Should be next week if I know their release schedule, or sometime, I don't know, maybe a few weeks. I have no idea. He did just drop one, and I know they do a few episodes in between or whatever. But yes, I absolutely can't wait. Those drafts are always an absolute blast, and it's always an absolute blast to be on the line with Shampoo when he's getting absolutely wasted, because that's all he seems to do. He's done that on our show twice now for both of those megasodes, and oh, man. Absolute blast. We're going to have a little bit of a return to form for the Epic Film Guys podcast tonight. No frills, no guests, just two guys talking about movies, talking about trailers, talking about having a lot of fun. And Justin's waving around that good old Epic Film Guys pint glass there. How's that beer taste? Yeah, we're going to find out in a little segment we like to call What Are You Drinking?
I'm back. Puke and rally.
Well, tonight, Nick, what I have guzzling down my gullet, swallowing down my sweat hole.
That, there you go.
Possibly pouring down my asshole.
Ooh.
If that makes any sense. It's the Six Point Brewery from Brooklyn, New York. It's their brand new double IPA Puff. It's 9.8% alcohol by volume and 108 IBUs. Have you had this beer yet, Nick?
I think you've had Puff before, haven't you?
If I did, I never checked it in on Untappd. So when I was at Wegmans. Puff
for some reason. I'm pretty sure I've had it, yeah.
I didn't put it in Untappd if I did have it, but I got it again. It's good. Caleb, you're not on, but it tastes good, buddy. It's good. But, Nick, I have a question for you, buddy. What are you pouring down your throat tonight?
Aww. He's resolute in his determination not to do the guzzling down your gullet anymore. All right, well, Justin, this is going to be a little change of pace, and I want to talk a lot about this because I had an absolute blast this past weekend. So I'll get to that in just a moment. But one of the things that, of course, myself and the wife did for our anniversary weekend was drink. And we drank a lot in Buffalo and in the Finger Lakes of New York. And this is a little something that I picked up. And David, the producer, is going to be extremely fucking proud of me. This, Justin, is from Finger Lakes Distilling. And this is a single barrel bourbon. All right. This bad boy, and I'll read the mash bill on this, even though I don't know. I mean, I get what it means, but it's 70% corn, 20% wheat, 10% malt. And I was so, so blown away by this. Like, you go there and you try, you know, liquor just like you try wine at any normal winery. Right. And
yeah.
This bad boy, you get it in your mouth, and as soon as you hit your lips, it's kind of got like a buttery taste to it. It gets really, really caramel, and then you start to get some of those oaked flavors, and it's just absolutely fantastic. They actually just released this on May the 5th, so as a little change of pace for something, I bought a bottle of it because I was so blown away by it, and I thought I would have it here on the show tonight, so... Cheers to all of you guys. Yeah, Jared, it is absolutely fantastic. And yeah, David, the producer, hell yeah. I sent a picture of this to he and his wife, Juliet, on Twitter because I knew they'd be proud of me for
drinking with my shit.
Big boy pants on.
I'm seeing you're pouring that all over the damn place, spraying that all over your fucking microphone and everything.
Oh, it's so, so good. It's like 108 proof, I think. Yeah, it's 108 proof, so it's pretty goddamn strong. I'm probably going to drink, you know, just this glass of it. And then I've got so much beer from the Finger Lakes to drink. I'm going to switch over to some of that. But Justin, before we get into any of that, before we get into what you've been doing over the past week, why don't we open things up for the stream for our thumbs of the week?
Thumbs up their asses. Thumbs up their asses.
I love it.
Son, this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass.
I love it.
Two very enthusiastic thumbs up.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Jesus Christ, man, what the hell is wrong with you? Please, just shut up! Fuck!
I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to you, my friend. What do you got to give a thumb for the week?
Myself, honestly, not really all that much. Actually, you know, I'll go over this right now because actually Jared Taylor, he just mentioned thumbs up to this as well. It's the Batman and Bill documentary, which I had myself had the opportunity to watch yesterday. For those of you out there that don't know this, it's been becoming more and more known out in the public eye that Bob Kane is not actually the true creator of Batman, that he only came up with the basic concept. And a man named Bill Finger basically came up with the idea for most of the Batman mythos, the way Batman looks, Gotham City, Commissioner Gordon, the Joker, Robin, Catwoman, the Riddler, Penguin, you name it. This guy was the ideas guy. And this guy died penniless, broke, alone in an apartment building in the mid 70s. It's been widely known throughout the comic book community that this guy was the creative force behind the original ideas behind Batman, and that Bob Kane from the beginning basically just signed his name on the contract, made money off all these people, and did very little to create anything to do with how we know and we love Batman today. So going back to the mid 2000s, this started to become more and more out in the open, and a gentleman wrote a book about it, and there's a documentary on Hulu that just released just this last Saturday, which deals with that. I'm not sure if you remember, Nick, but when we watched Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice in theaters opening day, it didn't say Batman created by Bob Kane. It said Batman created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger.
Yeah, so that was the first film to have that title. Yeah.
Yep. So they finally have attached his name, and his name will be attached forevermore on any comic book, any movie, anything to do with Batman. I highly recommend the documentary. It was so insightful, such a breath of fresh air. And I did have tears in my eyes by the end. It was such a great cause to see that. And great documentary overall, regardless if you're a Batman fan or not. Very insightful and interesting. So awesome. That's the biggest thumbs up I have for myself. Awesome. And how about yourself, buddy?
Well, I want to jump over to the live stream. We got so much stuff over here for feedback. First of all, a big thumbs up to you from Director Brennick for making a new logo for Netflix and Swill and stuff for merchandise, and thumbs up to them also having merchandise now. Thumbs up from Jared, as you said, for the Batman and Bill doc. David, the producer, thumbs up to the upcoming 20th show. From Jared Taylor, thumbs down to seasonal allergies. I'm sure a lot of people share your sentiments there, Jared. Patrick Sherwood, thumb yourself. Back over to Dan, thumbs up to their new crowdfunding page, of which the Epic Film Guys especially are now a sponsor. And yet we are absolutely proud to return the favor for the amazing sponsorship you guys have given us over the past year and a half, almost 2 years now. So thumbs down to the Pens laying the fattest of eggs tonight. I guess that means the series is tied, Dan. From Mark James from the Poop Culture Podcast, thumbs down for cancer. Fuck cancer. We got some news about the live stream for The Cure that we are going to get to in just a moment here. Dan again, thumbs down to Bill Nye Saves the World. From Speed Demon 2581, big thumbs down for head colds. Thumbs up for having 2 days off to recover. All right, and Justin, I mentioned before about how I got a chance to take a wonderful, wonderful trip this past weekend. It was my first anniversary for my wedding. So on Friday, I grabbed the wife and we headed up to Nedlow Brewing, one of our absolute favorites. I got some beer from them, their Bombers Double IPA. Unfortunately, I drank it like literally later that day because I loved it so much. We went up to Buffalo, met up with our good friends Bill and Melissa, and we went to the New York Beer Project, fantastic brewery up in Lockport. And then I tell Bill, like, cause I'm trying to keep this whole thing a secret from the wife. I'm trying to kind of plan it all and just kind of, she's not going to know what's going on in front of her. Right. So I'm like, all right, just pick a steakhouse. You know, we'll go to a nice steakhouse. Ada loves steak. So Bill, you know, finds this steakhouse called the Buffalo Chop House that he decides to go to. Well, we pull up to the fucking place and there's nowhere to park the car. And then there's a big sign out front that says valet parking. And we're like, Bill, what the fuck did you do? So we get up there and we hand off the keys. We, you know, valet parking. They take the car and go park it in the parking lot. We walk inside. This place is an immensely classy, beautiful place inside. And we sit down and we pop open the menus and we see the prices on it. And now we understand why that there's valet parking. Needless to say, Dan already spoiled it over in the chat, but needless to say, the total bill for all four of us for dinner was something in the neighborhood of $500, including tip. Yeah, it was an insane, wow, insane meal. But we rationalized it as we only eat like that every couple of years. It is our first anniversary. It is a nice, you know, important celebration. So we decided to splurge a little bit just this one time. But I had a $70 fucking ribeye, and Jesus Christ, it was amazing. But it had better be for the price that we fucking paid for it. All right. So after that, we go back to Geneva for the night and we wake up and Bill and Melissa come out and meet us. That was a surprise to Ada too. And then we decide to go around. We hit some wineries, we hit some breweries and just start collecting a whole bunch of different booze. And then, you know, Bill and Melissa unfortunately had to leave. We had a far more modest dinner that night at just a little place called the Great Friends Restaurant in downtown Geneva. And, you know, Sunday, we hit a few more wineries, including Leidenfrost Vineyards, one of our absolute favorites on the Finger Lakes. We went to the Meyer Farm Distillery, and we actually picked up a honey whiskey, a honey bourbon, that is also absolutely amazing. I'll have to crack into that one of these days here. And we went to just a bunch of different breweries, a bunch of different places. I actually stopped at Upstate Brewing, Justin, one of our favorite places over in Elmira, on the way home on Sunday.
Awesome.
And I ended up picking up a collaboration that they did with Riot Brewing up in Auburn. Prison City, I think, is the name of the brewery, actually. Prison City. The beer is called Riot, and it's absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, I had promised some of our Movie Pod Squad brothers that I would look for their 2017 ale and hopefully send it to them as part of our beer exchange. Unfortunately, out. Completely gone, and who knows if they're going to actually do another batch of 2017 this year. So that was my weekend. It was a great, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Like I said, we probably spent way too much money on dinner and on booze. I mean, we spent more on wine and on liquor and everything else at all the different places we went to than we did on meals. So it's not like, you know.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm not surprised at that, knowing you. So
hey, listen, we had to restock. And, you know, I'm only going to give myself one thumb for the week, and it's a big, big thumbs up. I actually just today, earlier this afternoon, bottled my Countdown Citra Session IPA. I did a 3-gallon batch of it. I just put it into carbonate earlier this afternoon, and that's named in honor of our brothers down in Perth, Paul and Wayne from the Countdown. And I dry hopped it with some Galaxy hops, and the nice hoppy aroma came off of it. And hopefully this one turns out a lot better than the Triple Hopster 2.0, which, like I said last week, I do still have a bottle of that for you. But yeah, I'm going to let you drink that at your own discretion, buddy.
I'll look forward to it regardless.
Mark James earlier mentioned fuck cancer, and I just got to take a quick moment to talk about the live stream for The Cure. If you're watching this on the live stream, you can see the little graphic down there in the bottom right-hand corner. It is going to be Saturday, May the 20th, and programming starts at noon, but the pre-show will start at 10:30. Of course, some of that will be me doing sound checks and making sure everything is ready. We'll just probably be watching some fun videos and doing all sorts of random shit, just making sure that everything's good to go. Programming runs from noon until midnight. We have signed up even more guests. I've locked out a bunch of other content spaces. Going to be absolutely fantastic. And I got word from the Cancer Research Institute this past week that they are now going to match donations for the month of May. So we have a pretty modest goal, I think, Justin, that we'll exceed. I think we'll exceed our goal of 2,500. If we hit that goal, CRI is going to match everything to it, and we stand to raise $5,000 for cancer research. That's absolutely fantastic. And like I said, I think we're going to exceed our goal. I have absolutely no worries about that. We have an incredibly generous fan base and a lot of people that are definitely ready to help us out with this amazing, amazing goal. So huge, huge ups to the Cancer Research Institute for matching all those donations. But I mean, even like, think about it, even if we only raise like $2,000, we're going to get 4,000, you know. It's so absolutely awesome, dude. That's fantastic. Amazing. So I absolutely cannot wait for that. Any other good news for you, Justin, before we wrap into the second segment here?
Well, actually, I never got to a thumbs down. I hate to be a Debbie Downer. I don't ever talk about this shit on Facebook either. I kind of keep my personal stuff to myself and not talk about it. But my grandfather just had a slip and fall in the new veterans home that he was in over the weekend. He broke his hip and he had to have emergency surgery on Sunday. He's doing well. That was a huge blow to me because very close to my grandfather and I'm all the way down here. And it's not like I can just jump back up there anytime I want. Yeah. Secondly, anyone that knows me personally, I've had knee problems in my left knee for years. It's from all the hill sprinting and all the extreme high intensity running I used to do all the time. Nick knows what that's all about because he used to do a lot of running himself. You know, and a lot of the gym stuff I used to do, I can't do anymore ever since I got hit by the car. But my knee's been bothering me. And for the past 3 weeks, there's like been this bunch behind my left knee. So I went to the doctor today and they're going to do an ultrasound tomorrow to make sure it's not like a cyst or a blood clot or something. So I'm just sitting here praying that it's not anything like that and that it's just like a muscle or something. So yeah,
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't do anything with it or anything. It just started to happen. So who knows what it is?
Well, definitely our best wishes to your grandfather. And yeah, hopefully he has a very speedy recovery. And yeah, that absolutely sucks, dude. And I know how you must feel being way the hell down there and you're unable to, it's like you said, you can't just jump in the car and just, you know, go to his side and, you know, spend time with him and wish him well and everything like that. And then, yeah, your knee, dude. I mean, I feel you. My back woes are ongoing still. I have another appointment coming up on the 10th in the morning. I'm in physical therapy right now. I'm going to see a pain specialist. It's just no matter what I do. And of course, I'll be 100% honest, the like 6 or 7 hours of driving in the car this weekend absolutely did not help it. But this was a trip that was really, really important to my wife, and I really wanted to make it happen for her. And that's worth it for a little bit of discomfort because she's had a rough go of it lately with her mom and everything, especially. So it was very important for her to be able to get out and be able to go, you know, have fun and have some good wine and have some laughs and have some fun with friends. So I'm very, very, very glad that we got to do that. And And like I said, we spent a literal fucking fortune in alcohol, but we needed to restock. That's what she keeps saying. Every time she looks at like the full wine rack right behind me here, we got like a case and a half. And then we went to Varick Winery, which is one of my favorite places up on the northern part of Cayuga Lake. And they not only have wine, Justin, but they have all sorts of artisan olive oils, vinegars, sauces and stuff. So I got a bacon bourbon barbecue sauce. I got a honey lime mesquite olive oil, and I got a bacon scallion mesquite olive oil. Oh my God. I've had the bacon scallion one before. It's absolutely fantastic. And I've also been buying, Wegmans does these artisan balsamic vinegars. And I've got a raspberry one now. I've got a blackberry one, and I've got an apple one now. So I'm going to start fusing together those balsamic vinegars with some of those olive oils. And mostly what I've been using, I haven't actually told you this, I haven't talked to you about it, but what I've been doing a lot is, for a lot of my meals now, instead of eating this and that and whatever, all I've been doing is just taking chicken breast and do a little salt and pepper each side. And then I've just been kind of searing them off in these different oils and vinegars, finishing them off in the oven, and just having a good lean chicken breast or two for a meal, just trying to shed some of these pounds. And I want to get back into my lifting phase where I used to be. You remember when you came up that one fucking year, that one winter, and you saw how fucking big I had gotten, and you were like, Jesus Christ. I definitely want to get back to that, because I know I can. It's just a matter of, well, hopefully my back holding out long enough, because I'm worried. I'm afraid to do anything because I don't want my fucking back to give out trying to lift anything. So I got to go slow.
Dude, I can relate to that completely. That's why ever since I got hit, man, I used to love doing deadlifts and squats and all the heavy, super heavy stuff. And I can't do it, man, because all the nerve damage in my back. So I just, anytime I feel that nerve damage, I immediately get like scared or nervous. Like I'm going to fuck myself up for good. And so I just don't do it. But major props, man. I mean, that's what you got to do. That's what I've been trying to do. Center myself, just get back to a healthier lifestyle. Obviously, we are the Epic Film guys. So, I mean, right there, you're showing it right there in front of the camera. We can't be too healthy because then we would just be completely boring. But I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, I mean, listen, nothing for nothing, but this is about 1,000 times healthier than the fucking like double IPAs we love to drink that. I mean, they're delicious and I love them, but we both know they are loaded with calories. So.
Yeah, way worse. Honestly, if we wanted to continue this show and want to get bombed during it, we would be better off with liquor than we would be with the beers. Yeah,
absolutely. But all right, we are going to go ahead and roll into our first break here, where we're going to play our second week of Star Wars trivia. I do hope everyone's enjoying that game. I'm going to make this one a little tougher on you guys, and I'm going to make you guys try to earn this one. We only had a couple of answers to our week one trivia, which was Order 66 during Revenge of the Sith. That's where that came from. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to be spinning a clip from our featured podcast this week. And again, a huge, huge shout out goes to Chris from the More Gooder Than podcast for all of his hard work on the movie Pod Squad Network. And every week on the More Gooder Than podcast, Chris, Donnie, and Corey, what they do is they each take a movie and they kind of pit them against each other and they determine which is the most goodest. And yes, they know that it's grammatically incorrect. So check out this clip, check out the trivia, and then we'll be right back with Epic Previews.
We'll be right back.
Does Jamie Lannister ever walk away with all his body parts? Who cares? I want another quickie with Big D.
Gods of Egypt, the movie that features so many white Europeans, it should have been called Gods of Norway, except Marvel has a lock on that shit.
The only thing I remember about when this movie came, because this is 2016, right?
Is it that?
Yeah, it's new.
It's that new.
Really?
It's really
last
new.
Last year?
Last year.
Dang.
And I remember them talking about the whitewashing of everything, and like the biggest affront to it is Beck.
Really?
Beck is to me, that's the biggest affront. Because like he's like blonde hair, blue eye, and yes, his name is spelled B-E-K, but it's Beck. That's the most American name that you could give somebody.
Yeah, and he's really just a loser. I mean, why don't they kill him?
That's really good. That was yeah, deep.
That cut. Was quick.
Yeah. That was very good. But yeah, let me start off with this.
Spit it out.
I actually like this movie more than I should have.
Same here.
Yeah.
April and I watched it thinking it was going to be stupid. And at the end, April was like, I like that movie.
Yeah. It was fun. We enjoyoed it as well.
And that's the thing. Does this deserve all the golden raspberries that it got? Yeah, yeah. It absolutely.
I don't think so.
But
there are far worse movies, and far worse movies that came out last year.
There's far worse movies that we've watched.
Yeah.
But that was, I think a lot of times what happens with me is when someone tells me that a movie is terrible.
Just makes you want to watch it more?
It doesn't make me want to watch it more, but when I actually do end up watching it, I find myself being like, eh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I didn't watch any of these. I didn't watch this one with Elise. But I was telling her, like, you know what? This honestly isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's fun to go through the Egyptian mythology because we've all heard of these characters, and just to see them in their both not human, but they're not human forms, but they're God human like forms, and then they're animal forms.
Yeah.
It's like they're Transformers.
Yeah.
And there were, I mean,
it's better than Transformers, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Definitely better than Transformers.
I don't like the Transformers movie.
There were some definite creative liberties taken with the Egyptian mythology. But, I mean, I liked what they did with it. I'm familiar with Egyptian mythology, and I liked this. It was a cool way to tell this story.
So were ancient Egyptians Scottish?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, Set favored red hair.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So casting a Scottish man.
It wasn't.
They didn't even try and hide his accent. No. That was the thing. They didn't even say, hey, American this up. No, full-blown Scottish.
Just be Scottish.
Yeah, be Scottish. Yep.
But Gerard Butler, I mean, he can do whatever he wants. This flipping Gerard Butler.
This is kind of like 300 in Egypt.
He's Gerard Butler. Come on.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. That is right, ladies and gentlemen. This month's trivia challenge for May 2017 is going to be all about Star Wars, since our first episode this month is dropping on May the 4th. All right, now, this trivia contest is going to test your Star Wars knowledge. Some of these are going to be a little bit easier, some of them probably a little bit harder, but the idea here is to name the scene, the iconic scene in Star Wars, where this quote or series or segment or whatever takes place, okay? So you got to name that scene and the film, of course. But let's go ahead and play it right now. Think you've got the Star Wars knowledge to tell us where that came from? Again, we're looking for the famous scene and the film that it's in, okay? So, of course, get at us by email at epicfilmguysny@gmail.com. Let us know on Facebook. Let us know on Twitter at Epic Film Guys. And may the Force be with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for sticking with us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. And once again, our live stream for The Cure, Saturday, May the 20th. Pre-show starts at 10:30. Programming starts at noon and goes to midnight. And then we're going to go until I get tired and want to go to bed, basically. And we're going to have so many fun guests. We're going to have so much fun time. And CRI, the Cancer Research Institute, is going to match all of the donations that are made to the stream. So if we hit our goal, we will raise $5,000 for cancer research, which is absolutely amazing. And speaking of amazing, Justin, it's time to roll into a little something that we like to call Epic Previews.
In the world of Endicott, New York and Herndon, Virginia, two Epic Film Guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
We have in this week's edition of Epic Previews is a trailer that just hit today, fresh hot off the press, and it's the first full-length trailer for Denis Villeneuve's Blade Runner 2049. I myself had the ability, and I wouldn't call it a luxury, of watching the live stream Q&A event today with Harrison Ford, Denis Villeneuve, and Ryan Gosling, who seemed like he was hungover from the night before and had literally nothing to say about the film that he was just in. But I did get a chance to watch that, and then the trailer hit today, and I watched it, and I have to tell you, Nick, I was blown the fuck away. I love the original first film. I am not the minority with that. We all know Epic Film Guy Nick has not seen the first film, but the visual aesthetic of this thing alone and the atmosphere and the tone and the feel and the look is just mind-blowingly good.
Every civilization was built off the back of a disposable workforce. But I can only make so many. Happy birthday.
And yeah, that, I'm going to jump right in on this one, Justin, because as you said before the trailer played there, I have actually not seen the original film. But, you know, we know that Denis Villeneuve is the one that is attached to direct this film. Of course, Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford, Jared Leto popping up in this thing. You see Batista, of course, popping up in this trailer as well, among others in an absolutely star-studded cast. Robin Wright showing up in there. And this thing, and you mentioned visuals, Justin, before we went into the trailer. Fucking breathtaking. And Villeneuve, I really hope... he brings such an epic storytelling ability to every single film that he does. He's an absolute master craftsman. And I think that coupled with the visual aesthetic that we're seeing here. And I mean, think of what he did with visuals in things like Arrival and even Prisoners, which I wasn't the biggest fan of. But I can still say that it was shot fucking beautifully. And this thing
right here, man,
looks mind-blowingly fucking beautiful. And it, like Loy Sauce was saying over here in the chat on the live stream, that I've got to get on to seeing the first film. I absolutely do agree. I do need to do that. But I would go see this movie just based on that trailer alone, having absolutely no knowledge of what I was walking into. Absolutely no knowledge. It looks absolutely perfectly brilliant. But as somebody who's a huge, huge fan of the original film, Justin, you've got to tell me here, you know, just lay it on me. What did you think of this bad boy?
Well, to... push right off from the visual, you had just mentioned them. Roger Deakins was the cinematographer on this film. Now, just to go down the line and talk about some films that he's done, Prisoners, Skyfall, True Grit, Revolutionary Road, and most recently, Hail Caesar. His work with Sicario was absolutely brilliant. I know you never, I'm not sure, you didn't get a chance to see that one yet, the Villeneuve film, right? You haven't seen that one, Sicario?
No, unfortunately, no. I have still not had a chance to see Sicario.
So his work is outstanding. And the first thing that I said when I posted this trailer to my Facebook page earlier is like, I'm going to riot if Deakins doesn't get at least a nomination or win cinematography for this fucking movie, because it looks absolutely brilliant. Now, as boring as that live stream event was earlier today, and the old ass Harrison Ford, you know, he's the only one that had anything really to say in the live stream. They mentioned about how much effort went into the look and the lighting and the cinematography of this movie. And rightly so. When you watch the original Blade Runner, it is the first neo-noir science fiction film of its kind that looks the way it does, that sounds the way it does, that's acted the way it does, that has the tone the way that it is. It's just absolutely beautiful. So, I mean... I'm blown out of the water with this. Now, a lot of Blade Runner fans are skeptical. Obviously, we're going to do a sequel to what is considered one of the best science fiction films ever made. It is preserved in the National Motion Picture Arts of Cinema. It's in the vault. It's going to be preserved forever. But for me, knowing how I liked Arrival and how much I enjoyed Sicario and how much I loved Prisoners, I feel like there's a great talent behind this. And this is not a man that would take on a project like this unless he felt like he could do it justice. He's a huge fan of the original film. So I'm very excited about this. I mean, even if it's nowhere near as good as the first, which I don't think anyone's expecting it will be, I still think it's going to be a good movie. And I think it's going to be a brilliantly stunning looking thing to watch and to listen to. And of course, who's in it? Who's in it, Nick, that you know that I just, you know, drool
well, like
over?
I said, we saw Ryan Gosling in it, and I'm sure you've got
there you go.
A chub from seeing him in all
there
the trailers,
go.
Just like our good friend enough. Jay good over enough. At the Super Movie Brothers.
I just hope that he dances. I just hope that he dances
oh,
in this, you know.
God.
No, but I mean, in reality, I loved this trailer, even though I will give it this much. Halfway through the trailer, it's perfect. From start to halfway through, it feels like a great atmospheric trailer. And then the second half through, we have the typical boom, 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 you know, the typical, you know, noises in the trailer that every single studio does to make it sound like, you know, this is exciting. This is cool with, you know, the slow logo coming in at the end and the bass drop. I mean, it is what it is. It's cool. They're trying to show people that are not familiar with Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. This is a film they should go see. Don't even remember that Ghost in the Shell piece of shit. You know, please don't think this is anything like that. But no, I mean, in reality, I think it looks fantastic. Will it be as good as the first? Most likely not, but will it be a good movie? I think that Villeneuve's got something good up his sleeve, so I'm excited for it.
All right. Well, speaking of films that I am extremely excited for, and this definitely shot up a few notches on that list, I'll absolutely say that, but I'm going to jump into another trailer, Justin, right now from a director that you and I are both also very, very, very big fans of, and that, of course, is Christopher Nolan, and his latest film is based on a true story of the evacuation of British and French forces from Dunkirk in the spring of 1940. This is Dunkirk.
What has happened is a colossal military disaster. We shall go on to the end. We shall never surrender.
All right, and Justin, I'm going to go ahead and open it up right over to you for your initial thoughts on the trailer for Dunkirk.
You know, this is a movie that I've been extremely excited about. And those of you that have listened to, I think it was a couple episodes ago when I mentioned that when I saw, what the hell was it that I saw? God damn it. No, it was Rogue One.
Power Rangers.
Yeah, when I saw, fuck off. No one watched Power Rangers, Nick. That shit bombed and everyone forgot about it. The same as Ghost in the Shell. I know, but when I went and saw Rogue One, actually, I had the amazing opportunity at the Airbus. Yes. Six-story, 4K laser-projected IMAX to see the 8-minute prologue of Dunkirk, which a lot of that actually is in this trailer. So there was probably maybe about 4 shots in this that I haven't seen yet, because I did see a lot of that, like with the plane with Tom Hardy, you know. They always, you know, Nolan always wants to put a mask on Tom Hardy or something over his mouth. But, you know, honestly, I have a feeling about this one, Nick. I don't think that major mainstream audiences are going to flock to this thing, only because there's not much narrative in this trailer as to where it's going. To people that are unfamiliar with it, I don't think 13-year-old, you know, 14-year-old boys are going to be like, hey, what were we going to see this weekend in the summer, middle of the summer? Let's go see that war movie. But I do think that it will do well based on reviews and word of mouth as long as it goes the way that it's looking. I'm hoping this is a return to form for Nolan. A lot of people had issues with Interstellar. I still liked the shit out of it. But, you know, I still feel like it is one of his more weaker efforts out of the past couple of years. I think it was good, but not quite there for Nolan. Not quite where I would hope he had his film go. He's a huge history buff. He's a huge hardcore director that pays very close attention to detail. Everything has to be just right. All the practical shots in this thing are just absolutely stunning. The plane shots, even though, Nick, those shots that are there still in there that you don't like, you're going to get used to those where he's got the fucking camera attached to the side of the damn plane. He's going to do that. I think he just likes it. It's his thing. He did it in The Dark Knight Rises. He did it in Interstellar. He's going to do it in this.
It's a good perspective shot, but unfortunately, he just has a tendency to way overuse it.
So in any case, this this showed me a couple new shots that I hadn't seen yet. It's got a great atmosphere. I love that the way the trailer built things up about halfway through and the tension built and the music got faster and you heard like that ringing, and it's fantastic. So I'm really excited for this. I hope it does extremely well. And you know what? I'm going to throw this out there. We haven't talked about this in the show. The rumor on the edge of the corner of the street is that Nolan is in talks to helm the next James Bond film. We all know that Bond is a thing that he is very passionate about.
It's his dream project.
But it's got to be right. I guarantee he's just waiting for them to say, Chris, just do whatever the fuck you want to it and hand it to him. And I guarantee you he'll do it in that case. Otherwise, if they have stipulations, who knows? Maybe he doesn't want Daniel Craig as Bond anymore. We don't know. But I'd love to see him step back into that territory for a big blockbuster, especially after Spectre, which was fine, but nowhere near up to par to Skyfall. So for me, Dunkirk looks great. I can't wait to see it at that huge IMAX. It'll probably be, Nick, the next film I see in that giant IMAX theater.
All right. And I was typing over in the chat on the live stream, but they included little excerpts from Churchill's We'll Fight Them on the Beaches speech in this trailer at a couple of different points. And I really, really think that that's what puts this trailer. I love the trailer. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Everything that you said, I'm absolutely in the seat on day one to see this film. But I think, like I said, including those speeches from Churchill, I really think that that takes this trailer from great to just absolutely amazing, because that's one of the greatest speeches in history. It's one of the greatest speeches of the Second World War.
You're a resident war expert. Yeah. You're the one that you love your war films, man. Those are your thing. So
I absolutely love my war films. And of course, it's a World War II film. There's a lot of talk over in the live chat between Jared, between Loisos, about hopefully Nolan getting a nomination for best director for this. And I think as long as the film's good, which, I mean, it's Nolan, so it definitely should be really, really good. I think he's almost got to be a lock to get a directing nomination for this, just because, if for nothing else, because the Academy loves a good World War II film. And
damn right, you know, they do. We just saw Hacksaw Ridge.
When was the last really good one that we saw? I mean, aside to Hacksaw Ridge, of course, but besides that, when was the last time we saw a really, really great epic World War II film, you know? And this is opening in the summer as a blockbuster, not like Hacksaw Ridge did in November. So
yeah, that might hurt its chances a little bit, Nick, because we know how the Academy looks at films that are released
It is going to be a little bit old and out of their memory. Prior to that. But you know what? I really hope that it kind of lingers with them and it kind of hangs out with them. All right. And ladies and gentlemen, we're actually going to go ahead and jump into another quick break here for this month's featured actor. And that, of course, is Bill Murray. And Bill Murray and Tom Hanks were in a pretty close race until about the last day or so of the poll. And Bill Murray just came ahead and blew him out of the water in the end. So we're going to throw a little clip from our featured actor in here, and then we'll be right back to wrap up Epic Previews and wrap up the show.
We'll be right back.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god, I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck? You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Special today is blueberry waffles.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to believe in me.
You're not a god. You can take my word for it. This is 12 years of Catholic school talking.
I could come back if you're not ready.
How do you know I'm not a god?
Oh, please.
How do you know?
Because it's not possible.
I'll come back.
Doris. This is Doris. Her brother-in-law, Carl, owns this diner. She's worked here since she was 17. More than anything else in her life, she wants to see Paris before she dies.
Oh, boy, what
are you doing?
This is Debbie Kleiser and her fiancé, Fred.
Do I know you?
They're supposed to be getting married this afternoon, but Debbie is having second thoughts.
What?
Lovely ring.
This is Bill. He's been a waiter for 3 years since he left Penn State and had to get work. He likes the town, he paints toy soldiers, and he's gay.
I am.
This is Gus. He hates his life here. He wishes he stayed in the Navy.
Well, I could have retired on half pay after 20 years.
Excuse me? Is this some kind of trick?
Well, maybe the real God uses tricks. You know, maybe he's not omnipotent. He's just been around so long, he knows everything.
Oh, okay. Well, who's that?
This is Tom. He worked in the coal mine until they closed the town.
And her?
It's Alice. Came over here from Ireland when she was a baby. She lived in Erie most of her life.
He's right. And her?
Nancy. She works in the dress shop and makes noises like a chipmunk when she gets real excited.
Hey!
It's true.
How do you know these people?
I told you, I know everything. In about 5 seconds, a waiter's gonna drop a tray of dishes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay?
Okay, that's enough.
Welcome back once again to the Epic Film Guys podcast. And that was our featured actor for the month of May, Mr. Bill Murray. All right, so now our last trailer for the evening, Justin. This one's been a little bit divisive.
It definitely has been.
A little bit divisive.
Yeah.
And this is based on Stephen King's The Dark Tower. Now, this is, it's sort of an adaptation of a couple different books in the Dark Tower series, but it's also meant to be a sequel to the Dark Tower series, because this basically picks up after the plot of the final book ends, because there's some horn or something that the gunslinger, Roland, who, of course, Idris Elba, has in this film that he gets at the end of the seventh book or whatever. So, you know, it's, well, let's just go ahead and spin the trailer, Justin, and then we'll get right into this.
Yeah, okay? Let's get right into it. Throw it on there.
For thousands of generations, the gunslingers were knights, sworn to protect us from the coming of the dark.
These visions, as you call them.
What do you see?
I see a tower,
a man in black,
and the gunslinger.
They're just dreams. They're not real, Jake.
There's another world out there.
I know there is.
All right, and there we go. The Dark Tower. So, Justin, once again, I will kick it over to you for your initial thoughts.
Okay, well, this is coming from someone, I'm not sure, you had said you haven't read any of the books, correct, Nick?
I have not read any of the books, no.
Okay, so a long time ago, back a long, 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 long time ago, when I was held in a certain area for like a year, I read a lot when I couldn't leave that area. So I read the first two books. The visual look when you read those books is not what we're seeing in this film. I kind of had an idea that they were not going to go down that route. Like, I literally pictured a Western, you know, the gunslinger, you know, the man in black. You picture like a Western, a desolate wasteland, almost like Mad Max, if that makes any sense, Nick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And this thing kind of just, what it gave me is a generic looking blockbuster. Now, that's not to say that it's not going to be a good or decent generic blockbuster, but the way that it's shot, the way that it looks, the way that this trailer is edited, just basically, if you didn't know anything about the Dark Tower at all, or it wasn't even a thing, you would just look at this as, this could be just another run of the mill, hey, maybe Assassin's Creed, or hey, look, he's jumping off a building, or hey, look, that's a cool shot with it's slow-mo where he's loading the gun with the bullets. I love Idris Elba, McConaughey needs to do something good again. You know, Gold came out earlier or late last year and didn't do very well. And I love the hell out of them. And, you know, I love the books. The books were great. They were atmospheric. They were so well written. It took you to a different place, a different world where you could just forget about your daily life and just go there and experience what the gunslinger was doing, chasing this man in black. Now, I think they did themselves a solid by saying, hey, let's not make it an adaptation of the first book or the second book or however many books there are, because I only read the first two, but making it, you know, basically a sequel to them, but still relating to those books so fans will still like it. I won't lie, I was not overly impressed by the first trailer to this. Now, keep in mind, this is the first actual footage we've seen of this film, Nick, and the film comes out this summer. So yeah, that's cutting it close. So there, I felt like almost like Power Rangers,
really close.
There's a reason why they're doing it. Maybe they were worried. Not to say that it's not a bad trailer. It's not the worst trailer I've seen, but just to me, it just looked a little too generic for what I was hoping for The Dark Tower. Now, coming from the outside, not being someone that has read the books or is very familiar with it, Nick, what did you think about it?
Well, I mean, I haven't read the books, but I'm at least familiar with them. And these are, from my understanding, these are kind of King's self-described magnum opus. And,
yes,
you know, this is, you know, it's kind of based on like Arthurian legend. There's a lot of the kind of King Arthur stuff wrapped up in the story of the Gunslinger. You've got Matthew McConaughey in this as Randall Flagg, who is a recurring character throughout a number of Stephen King works, including one of my absolute favorite books and favorite TV miniseries of all time, The Stand. And I think just based on the character of Flagg in that miniseries and having read that book, he's a perfect casting choice for the Man in Black in this film. And like I said, I don't have the experience with having read the books, but I do know that, you know, they spend time in this other world where it's medieval times, but they've also got magic and they've also got advanced technology to a degree.
Yes, that's correct.
And then they also step over into our world at different points in times. So I'm really, really intrigued here. I do see what you're saying, and I see what a lot of the people that are critical of this trailer are saying about it, kind of seeming like it's more of a generic action piece than I think the Gunslinger. I think from my understanding anyway, is that it's kind of deeper than that. It's bigger than that.
The way that I picture it, Nick, is it feels like the way that I wanted the film to look and feel is how Logan looked and felt, a little bit like more dramatic, more serious.
Yeah.
It's still got its awesome action elements, but it just felt like more, you know, him walking through the dust and, you know, beautiful cinematography, a little more artsy, I guess you could say. But this, obviously, they want to make a lot of money off it, and they're going to do their best.
You said it yourself.
That.
It is a summer release. It's coming out in the summer. And so it makes sense to me that the first trailer would be cut to be more of a crowd-pleasing trailer.
Right.
All that stuff may very well still be in the film, but unfortunately, it didn't give the diehards enough to really 100% sell them. I do think it has a really cool aesthetic. I think, of course, it's Idris Elba, who is fantastic. And like I said, Matthew McConaughey as the Man in Black could not be better casting. So that alone puts my ass in a seat on opening night. I really, really think that's fantastic casting. And I do like a lot of the visual stuff that you get in this film. You get all, of course, those CGI demons, and you get, you know, him reloading his gun all these cool, really fast, crazy ways. And I think that that's really, really, really interesting. And like I said, it's my understanding that this takes pieces and adapts like different pieces of at least, I think, 3 or 4 different books, just little bits and pieces from a few different books in the Dark Tower series. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see where they go with this. But I will trust the word, and I will trust the work of Stephen King, that hopefully they adapted this really, really well. And hopefully they've crafted something here that's really going to lead into a huge franchise, because of course there are 7, actually I think 8 books, because he wrote one after the fact and plugged it back in.
That's right.
But you know, there's a huge, huge, huge following for this. There's a huge, huge, huge universe that they can plug into here, and this can become quite a franchise, kind of akin to Harry Potter, where you can have a lot of films plug into this thing before it's all said and done. So this could be a huge moneymaker as long as they get this one right.
Let's hope they get it right. And one of the coolest shots in the trailer, Nick, and I'm going to piggyback off of that shot, is the fact that, I'm not sure if you noticed or not, but they reference Pennywise. They reference it in there. We see the balloons. We see where it says Pennywise. And that's going to lead me to where we were going to talk about this trailer that just hit last night at the MTV Video Music Awards. It was more of a clip than an actual trailer, I guess. But we did see from last night a brand new clip of the new brand new It film that's coming out this upcoming fall. And while we decided, Nick, we're not going to talk about it in depth because, you know, we got a lot to talk about today. We don't want to overblow everything. But
and I didn't even watch it.
Of course you fucking didn't. You're going to watch the damn movie, though. I'm telling you right now, you're going to watch it.
I'll watch it.
I told you were going to watch Guardians 2, and you did. So I've got my hold on you here for at least a little while.
I did, and summer's not off to a good start this year.
But hey, we may agree to disagree to some extent. Whatever. I mean,
Alien Covenant.
Hey, Alien Covenant, not to go off on a tangent, is doing really well right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
I've heard it's doing well critically. Yep.
It's doing decent. But what I was going to say is that clip from It looks fantastic. The kids look great. They have great chemistry. They look like their performances are going to be great. We still haven't heard Skarsgård's Pennywise speak in the trailer. They're holding that off, which is great. They're keeping mystery with that. So I was going to leave that at that. I loved seeing that clip late last night before we had to get up and go to work in the morning. You know, it's good. A good nightmare is good, you know, to have before you have to go back to work. But leaving that aside, this is the end of Epic Preview. So we talked about 3 trailers, Blade Runner 2049, The Dark Tower, Dunkirk, all pretty much decent to, if not really great trailers. It's not like any of them were totally shitty trailers.
There wasn't a bad one in the bunch for me this week. And especially Blade Runner and Dunkirk were both phenomenal trailers. Blade Runner, I definitely think, led the pack there. I was fucking blown away by that trailer. It's so fucking
I'm
good.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad to hear that, dude.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and we're just about ready to wrap up the show here. I do want to thank everybody that's listening to us, and I do want to thank everybody that joins us every single week on the live stream. If you're not watching these on the live stream, I am actually. I just made all of our live streamed episodes public. So if you want to go back and you want to listen to the raw, uncut episodes, you can go ahead and jump over to YouTube and just search for Epic Film Guys. Please subscribe to us over there. You can also see my 7 Days to Die video series, which I've been having a lot of fun with. And I plan on doing more of these editing videos too, like I did for episode 95. People seem to really have a good positive response to that. Got a little peek behind the curtain in terms of my editing process, even though editing the Megasode was way, 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 way different than anything has ever been in terms of editing for the show. I'm kind of glad that this is just us, that this is just a normal run-of-the-mill episode, and we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of good discussions tonight. I'm really, really glad. But I know Mason from Real Dude Reviews was supposed to be on this episode, and I just decided to not remind you about it, and I decided to not remind Mason about it. Because, hey, I need a couple of nice, easy-peasy edits ahead of the live stream for The Cure, which is, I think I'm ready for it. I've got so much stuff ready for it, and I really think we're in a good position. We're going to raise a lot of great money. It's going to be a great time, but I just kind of want to coast on easy street as far as editing goes ahead of the live stream event, because it's going to be a fucking beast and a half.
Well, that, and, you know, we are called the Epic Film Guys podcast, and no hating on anybody else that's been on the show. We've had a lot of great guests.
Oh, we have.
A lot of great people filling in for me, a lot of great things, but we need to get back to basics, get back to basics, our normal flow, and, you know, see where we're going to head in for the rest of the year and for the summer movie season. We have live stream for The Cure, which is going to be fantastic. We're all looking forward to that. We have a lot of awesome guests coming on for that. So we've got a lot of things happening this summer and a lot of great movies and hopefully great movies, but a lot of movies we're looking forward to talking about. Now, I'm not sure if you're seeing it. I don't know if I'm even going to take the time to see it, but who knows? I might even go see that King Arthur pile of shit with Charlie Hunnam. I don't know. Just have something really to talk about next week. I mean, if I'm going to try and see if Loy Sauce can get me in.
I need to contact AMC and see if they can, toss a free ticket my way like they did for
that Vin Diesel, the XXX.
Yeah, XXX, like when they did for XXX, maybe if they toss me a free ticket for it, because I can't imagine that people are going to go pay to see Charlie Hunnam in a fucking movie.
Well, but, dude, I've been getting invites to screenings for that for like a month, and I keep denying them because I'm like, I won't drive more than 10 miles to see that.
Yeah, so I sadly have not gotten any. We'll know what? I do think I have some AMC rewards that maybe I can burn just a free ticket on it and not actually have to spend actual money. And I don't know, maybe that'll make it at least a little bit more palatable. I have no idea. I mean, of course, the next couple of things I'm looking forward to, Alien Covenant and Baywatch, are definitely on my radar for the rest of the month. So
definitely, man. I think Baywatch will be a lot of fun. So, and you had that on your most anticipated list the summer. So,
Yeah,
it should be good. But, I mean, other than that, man, we've kind of wrapped up this episode pretty nice and tight, man. Regular Epic Film Guys
nice
podcast
and
episode.
Tight, so. Like Loy Sauce's asshole. Is he still in the stream?
Oh, no, I think he left, man. It's past his bedtime, but I mean.
Son of a bitch. Well, hey, it was great for him to come out and join us. It's great that everybody that is still over in the live stream is over there. And like I said, these live streams will now be live same day as the episode on Thursdays when they launch, probably midday. They're not going to be up in the mornings, but they will probably be out sometime in midday. Quit your fucking talking over there. I'm going to come over there and smack you. All right. Well, first and foremost, we absolutely have to thank our wonderful sponsors here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. And we'll start with our resident kaiju expert, Mr. Robert Marino. Thank you very much. Jared Taylor was in here earlier. So was Robert. So thank you guys both for checking out the live stream. Jared Taylor, Destruction in Human Form, as he has been dubbed by the Netflix and Swill Boys. Thank you very, very much for being here. Speaking of Netflix and Swill Boys, Caleb and Dan, we absolutely love you guys. Filled in for us back on episode 94 and did an amazing job. We love you guys. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. To Mr. Scott LaVar, thank you very much, who is finally catching up on his movie list. He saw Mad Max Fury Road finally. He saw Rogue One finally. And he's been messaging us back and forth about the movies that he's seen. And last, but absolutely most certainly not least, Emily from The Story Behind, who is on a baby break right now, but still releasing episodes based on We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. She's doing a whole series of episodes based on all the pop culture stuff that's referenced in that song while she's on baby break. So, yeah, thank you guys all very, 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 very much for just being amazing and being awesome and being wonderful. And a special shout out to Mike Driscoll, who actually we're trying to set up for a guest spot on the show sometime after the live stream for The Cure. I did order his glasses today. And a special shout out to Mr. Caleb of the Netflix and Swill podcast, who actually bumped up his subscription level and his pledge to us. So he's actually awesome, sending us a little bit more. So I actually sent him 10 Epic Film
and
stickers today.
That's fantastic. And before we end the show, I did want, even though I didn't get this in our Thumbs of the Week segment, I wanted to give a big thumbs up real quick to director Brennick, because he watched The Thing, he loves The Thing, and he bought John Carpenter's The Thing on Blu-ray this week, and I'm very proud of him. I'm a very proud father of director Brennick, even though he may be a little bit evil at times, but I'm very proud of him. So just wanted to leave that on a good note.
It was absolutely amazing. For him to see The Thing and for him to rate it, as I said last week, 4.5 out of 5, absolutely wonderful. But it's such a masterpiece of a film, it's hard not to rate it that high. And you're not even remotely my father. What the hell are you talking about, Dan?
Oh, good.
Close
for
enough.
You.
I could be your father if I try.
I have no idea. All right, but of course, everybody that did check us out again on the live stream tonight, thank you very, very much for checking us out. Everybody that's listening to the podcast right now, thank you very, very much. We love you guys. We do this for you guys. We absolutely, there's just nothing more to say, Justin. They're amazing. Every single one of them, every single time, we absolutely love you guys. Once again, another plug for this episode, live stream for The Cure, Saturday, May the 20th. Programming begins at noon. And I'm so excited, Justin. We're going to have such a fucking blast, and we are going to raise a great, great amount of money. And if you're on the live stream right now, or if you're watching this video afterward, you can get a sneak peek of our layout for the live stream for The Cure over here on the live stream. I've got everything all set for it. I've just got to do some editing for some blooper stuff that's going to play during some break segments and whatnot, but it's going to be pretty fun. I'm not really that concerned with it. So until next time, I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
And I am Epic Film Guy Justin. And we will see you at the movies.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
Nick, I don't know if you have gone back over our back catalog for. I'm just going to do a bit of a shameless plug for my podcast. We did episode 19 was Office Spaceballs. So we do movie mashups, and that was one of our favorites. So go back and
check
that.
That's great.
Fucking awesome.
That's fucking great.
Bit of a shameless plug, but you know, go for it. Both of those movies are fucking amazing. They are incredible. I'm 100% on board with
those.
There
it is right there, Office Spaceballs. Yeah, I fucking love, like I said, if I have to watch those movies for an eternity, I want to watch something that I'm really, really going to laugh my ass off at every time.
You guys
time.
Do such a great fucking job naming your episodes and coming up with themes for them.
You really do.
You really do spike the puns every time.
Thanks, man.
I fucking love Portmanteau.
It's a lot of fun, man. We get really pissed, and at the end of each episode, we would decide what we're doing next week. So yeah, we're pretty happy with that. The next one we're doing, recording in 2 weeks' time, is going to be Sleepers in Seattle. So that's going to be
nice.
and you managed to do this all despite the fact that you have fucking foot-long spiders living in your car mirror.
In the car, in the lounge, everywhere, mate. They're
you're just
all
like, oh, yeah, I got one in my mailbox, and I got one in my wingman, and, like, fucking, you just got giant goddamn spiders everywhere.
There's drop bears everywhere.
I can only imagine that Fuzzy Bee's life is spiders.
Like, yeah, man, you don't got to worry about the giant foot-long spiders. You got to worry about the fucking, the VD-infested koalas.
Your hair is spiders. Everything is spiders.
It's like that scene from Kong, Skull Island, with the big fucking giant spiders stabbing
that
people.
That scene was crazy. That might have been my favorite scene in the movie, because that was
so good.
So good.
Yeah,
I
right?
I did not expect that at now, all.
Your entire life is that Indiana Jones scene.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Every day.
I figured you meant because he like was inside of a refrigerator in a nuclear blast.
Yeah, that's what I meant for
what?
Sure.
What movie was
wait, 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 hang on. That wasn't in any Indiana Jones.
I don't remember exist. This happening.
Yeah, no, that hunk of shit did not exist.
Oh my god! All right, well, gentlemen, we've got a little bit more left to do. Anybody? I know we've recorded for a long time, so if anybody's got to go to bed or if anybody's got to peace out, I understand. So please feel free. But I did open it up for anybody that was coming on tonight to bring some Nick's unpopular opinions with you. So if you've got anything you want to lay at my feet, lay it on me. We'll do this. We'll start over with shampoo. If you've got anything that you came up with for Nick's unpopular opinions, drop it on me.
I'm going to have to pass right now. I haven't been able to channel a lot of my unpopular opinions.
Ooh. All right. Justin, you're usually good for a couple, so I'll kick it over to you.
Well, if you notice, I came hard on Nick 2 weeks ago on a few of the big ones. So we talked about The Goonies, Christmas Story, Patrick Swayze. What else are we talking about? Those are the main big ones. Karate Kid. We talked about a lot, Nick.
We did. We and talked so, about a lot.
And I think we came to a good place. And the good place is Nick's, he likes to exaggerate his hate for some movies. So that's pretty much the gist of it. You take extreme opinions just to get a rise out of people. So
good in job, cases, Nick. In some cases, I do.
I got one for you, Nick.
Oh, my God.
You need to settle the fuck down on your hoppy beers. I think
False.
We have to have an intervention for you, man.
False.
Like, you don't need 114. You don't need 114 IBU beers.
False.
You just don't need it.
Incredibly false. The more bitter, the fucking better. I've got my second triple IPA carbonating in my fucking kitchen right now. I fucking love bitterness in my fucking beer. Love it. Suck a dick.
Dude, you're gonna like make a beer one time and like seriously turn into Homer Simpson that one episode where it's like he gets the super sour like candy. It's like I didn't steal it.
I don't know.
No, Nick, what you need to do, you need to go buy a Nintendo Switch game, soak it in some water, and just drink the water, and that will be plenty bitter enough for you.
Not even the console, just
you need to settle down with the IPAs, man.
I fucking love my IPAs. I love bitterness in my fucking beers. One of the best beers I've ever had, true story, is a beer that I got in New Hampshire when I was up there on vacation, and it was called Hop Freakin' Ridiculous, and it had like 265 IBUs or something like that. It was insanely bitter. My God, it was so fucking good.
You cracked it open and it was just like an angry Scotsman who punched you in the face, wasn't it?
Justin was complaining
Damn
about
Scotsman,
Justin was complaining about
Scotland.
drinking trees on the episode that he started on, episode 93. And this was like a whole fucking forest in that fucking thing. It was so bitter and so piney. Oh God, it was so good. I want it now. I want it right now.
You ever had the Sierra Nevada like Bigfoot ale?
Sierra Nevada Bigfoot like season. No.
Yeah, it's a seasonal ale. They only release it once a year, and it's, like, fucking amazing. I've had it 2 years in a row, and, like, one time it was, like, super fruity, kind of ish. And the second time it was like extra piney. So it's very different each time you drink it. And it's really amazing. It's always roughly about 10%, 9 to 10% alcohol.
So you're good for about five of them then, John?
As he doesn't fact, remember this is how possibly, many of them he had. Yeah, I don't know. Most of the time I only drink like two, three beers and then I like call it a night. But man, this was the megasode. Come on now. I have three kids, man. Normally I can't drink shit.
Come on. Oh,
fuck yeah.
Yep. Fuzzy, I'm putting that up over in the live stream as well.
That's fucking amazing, Fuzzy.
Hey, coincidentally,
we love you.
That is the exact episode that I pulled this sound clip from, among others.
Somebody had to take
the
baby.
Oh, my God.
Then I noticed she was sitting on her sweet can like rubber. Just thinking about her can.
I just wish I had her sweet can.
So you
done.
Gripped her cat.
Oh, you broke me. It's over.
Mr. Simpson, your silence will only incriminate you further.
Oh my
it's
god.
Fucking great.
But yeah, no, I will not quit with the hoppy beers. I will seek out hoppier and hoppier and hoppier beers, even though not always a success. I had one up near Canandaigua last year that was like, oh, it was like 285 IBUs, but it was undrinkable almost. It was terrible, like, because you have to balance
shit,
it.
I
you
wonder I can't imagine why I can't imagine why that was terrible. It sounds so delightful.
God damn it, shampoo.
It makes no sense.
Oh my lord.
Like, all it's right. So bitter it tastes like
I
the
have
shame
no
of
idea
your
why
forefathers
I'm thinking that, but for the love of God,
it's so bitter it tasted like day old fudge from Chrissy. Yeah.
Yeah. The taste in your mouth a night after eating Chrissy's fudge, the type of bitterness
ew,
that you feel in your
phrasing?
Heart. That.
Well, it's also made out of Splenda.
And we're not doing phrasing anymore.
Extra bitter.
Sorry.
It's gross. It's totally gross.
God damn it! Who grilled my box?
People would pay a lot of money to see the pictures of you eating your fudge, Chrissy.
Oh my god. Who else has got some thumbs? Oh, or not some thumbs, god.
Thumbs of the week.
Again, thumbs of the week. Here we go.
Yay. We're starting
again.
Over again.
Oh, holy shit.
The plot of the Dark Tower.
God damn it.
Who else got has one, got Nick. Some unpopular opinions they want to throw at me?
Pick me.
Okay, go Caleb.
Pacific Rim is a fucking great movie, and you're a stupid poopy man.
Yeah, I don't think that's an unpopular opinion. I hold the same.
I actually have something along those lines.
God damn it.
I actually have something along those lines.
Hey, can we get some blue skeleton punching a baby on the live stream?
I will agree with anybody that says that the robots versus kaiju is fucking amazing. That part of it is fucking great. It's just that you have to watch Charlie Hunnam, quote, act, unquote, through the rest of the fucking movie, and it's mind-numbingly bad.
See,
he's so fucking terrible.
You're wrong.
See, I didn't
you
realize that there
to.
Were any actors in this other than Idris Elba.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
No, Ron Perlman, come on. Ron Perlman
there's that little Japanese girl and Idris Elba, and that's it, right? It's like an
no
ensemble
one else
movie.
In this movie. Like,
and
I
Ron Perlman
you
with
can't
golden shoes.
Your brain.
Oh, those shoes are amazing.
Oh, and Charlie Day's in it, too.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim's fucking great.
With my eye
I'm the only one who's allowed to have any eye holes.
You've got six eye holes.
Look at my eye holes. I do understand. See? Look at my eye holes. Oh, I'm looking through your eye holes.
Oh, my God. All right, yeah, no, I will never agree that that's a great movie. I agree that the kaiju versus robot stuff is great, and that's it.
I will wrestle you to the ground.
I will cuddle with you when we're on the ground.
I'm going to give you a swirly.
Next river trip,
totally
Caleb. I
will challenge you to one of those, like, British man gravy wrestling challenges.
Me and you were gonna pad up
it's
and
in
we're
like
gonna 1500 go at it.
Liters of like
that sounds fucking hot.
We're going to go at it American Gladiator style with the fucking toothpick batons.
I'm down.
Shit. Yes.
I want to wrestle in gravy. I'm in down gravy. With that.
In gravy,
I'm gonna,
yeah.
I'm going to get 50 Shades of Gay on you.
Too far. I don't know, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning here. So
I
don't know.
Yeah, I was like, it is 3 o'clock in the morning here.
And it's like, what is it like 2:30 in the afternoon in Australia there, Dan?
It is 6 o'clock. I'm about to go to the football in about half an hour and get more drunk. So yeah.
You're about to go to the what?
The football.
You're going to go football. To the football.
He's about to go to the damn pub. You know,
how are the cats doing? Hey, how are the cats doing?
The cats, they're doing all
yeah.
right. Yeah, yeah, they're good. That's your team, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my team.
Yeah, they're playing tomorrow afternoon about this time. So
they're gonna kick the shit out of whoever the fuck they're playing.
Go team, go sports,
go cats.
Oh my god!
Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi!
Go fucking
that whole
team.
Thing.
I picked it random just so that I could fuck with fucking Aussie.
They bounce the fucking football. How do you bounce a goddamn football? That's what I want to know. That's PEDs.
Oh my god.
I mean, he's got a point. He's got a point.
Tom Brady went to fucking Australia and he was like, yeah, I want to do that.
Tom Brady was like, all right, so how could, went to Australia and was like, all right, so how can I help you by deflating these balls?
They're like, that would not be helpful at all.
They're like, well, you know, it might completely ruin this game. And he's like, nah. Flattening's always the answer.
Tom
he's
Brady
like, just like my penis.
Crickets, right?
The Epic Film Guys are a proud member of the Movie Pod Squad Network.